B-Pod Studios.
.985, the sports hub where Toucher and Rich. I really hope people know that that last sentence of the promo was sarcastic. I hope people don't really think we were saying that.
No, that is the Mike and Mike thing.
Right, but I don't know how many people that immediately occurs to. Ryan Wilson covers the NFL and the NFL draft for CBS Sports, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Wilson, hello, sir.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
It is going well, and I am right now looking at your mock draft, very thorough mock draft, and you have the Patriots taking a wide receiver out of LSU, but you do mention, and there has been talk of them taking a quarterback. Now, if they don't trade up and they stay at 23, what quarterbacks do you think would be available, and do you think it would be worth taking them there?
So at that point, probably Jacob Eason out of Washington would likely be the only quarterback available. We know Joe Burrow is going first, and then Tua, the conversation with the Dolphins up top, they have to figure out whether they think he's healthy or not. And I think Jordan Love is actually going to go somewhere shortly after Justin Herbert in that top 10 range, maybe top 15. I do wonder if Jordan Love slips down to around 15 if the Patriots get interested and maybe think about trading up. But if not, Jacob Eason is probably going to be the fifth quarterback to go, and bottom of the first round doesn't seem outrageous. I think he's probably more of a second-round guy. He probably should have gone back to Washington for one more year. He transferred from Georgia when he lost the job to Jake Fromm and set out a year in 2018. But he has a lot of really good attributes that you like in a quarterback, strong arm, pretty smart. But he struggled over the second half of last season, and I thought that would have made for a good reason to return. He chose not to, and he'll probably get drafted pretty high. But I don't know if he's a Patriots type player in terms of what they're looking for in their quarterbacks. That said, what do I know? Bill Belichick didn't call me and say, hey, what do you think about Jacob Eason?
What do you mean by he's not what you think they're looking for? Like, can you tell me a little bit about this guy?
Yeah, he's young and he's inexperienced, and it's going to take some time for him to grow into that role. The first half of the season, I thought he played incredible at Washington, and for having such a strong arm, he was incredibly accurate on these short intermediate passes. The second half of the season, it looked like either he had gotten tired from not playing in a while or defenses had caught up with him. And once that first read wasn't there, he started making mistakes, poor decisions. After that first read, he would look to run the ball sometimes inside the pocket. And, I would imagine Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick can fix just about anything. But if they're looking for an expedited timeline, given that Tom Brady's now gone, I don't know if they're looking to take on a project like Jacob Eason. It's going to take a year or two to grow into that role. Can he be a good football player? Absolutely. It's just not going to happen overnight.
Burrow, and you know, if the health of Tua is in question, who do you like in terms of quarterback in this draft?
Jordan Love a lot.
Okay.
Jordan Love out of Utah State. He had a terrible, I can't stress how bad a season he had in 2019, but I was talking to him at the Senior Bowl. And he admitted, I tried to do too much. And I talked to his teammate, Darwin Thompson, who played for the Chiefs this year. And he said, look, man, new coach, new offensive line, and all the playmakers left. Yeah, he had a lot to do. So he put a lot on his shoulders. He had 17 interceptions last year. So there are glimpses of watching him play last year. You go, oh, I can see how he's really good. And then there are other times you're going, I have no idea what this guy's doing. If you watch 2018 when he had the offensive line and the players around him, he was incredible. First round buzz, and I think he was going to have to overlook last season. And if they can do that, he's a top 15 pick, and I suspect some team may try to trade up and get him inside that top 15.
Okay, Ryan, when I was at Super Bowl Media Week, I saw Tua walking around, and the first thing that you think is, oh my God, is he small? It doesn't really hit you until you see him in person how small he is. And I know he's 6 feet tall, so you shouldn't really think that way, but maybe it's his frame, or he seems like shockingly small for a quarterback. On top of that, his health, there's issues there. Like, are you worried about Tua and how he was going to do? I mean, obviously Miami's going to take a shot at this guy. How worried are you about his career once he enters the NFL?
Well, the first thing is he's small, and the second thing is you're, like, trying to figure out whether he's limping or not. And that's subconsciously you want to see, okay, he just had that hip surgery in November. It's a very serious hip surgery. He's slight. You're exactly right. In fact, I remember seeing him and going, I think Kyler Murray might be taller than Tua. And, you know, we were making a big deal about Kyler being 5'11 or whatever he ended up being last year. But Kyler's not slight. Kyler's thick. And you don't want any of your quarterbacks taking a bunch of hits, but you feel like Kyler can take a hit and get up from it. Tua, you're not so sure. We watched that video on Instagram last week where we were all doing cartwheels because he was able to move around some cones, and that's great news for his development. But my second thought was, all right, what if a 300-pound defensive lineman hits him? Then what? Is he getting up? Is the hip shattered? Those are the things that I'm worried about, you're worried about, obviously, and NFL teams clearly are probably more worried about. You can't get your doctors in there to check him out because of the pandemic, and that's a huge risk if you're a team in desperate need of a quarterback, like, say, the Dolphins. So I wish he were healthy. It'd be such a fun story to watch him play at that size, as we sort of not care about the size of quarterbacks. But that has to be a huge concern, because not only is he shortish by quarterback standards, he's not thick. He's not Kyler Murray in terms of the muscles that are around that small frame.
Okay, Ryan, we're talking to Ryan Wilson, senior NFL draft analyst for CBS. There's a lot of talk right now, you know, seeing that the Patriots really don't have a ton of picks right now. And I think it was Ben Volen of the Boston Globe who floated this out there, but I've heard it from a few other places, is that if they were looking to do something to get some draft capital, maybe they make a move as drastic as trading Stephon Gilmore. Now, there are teams out there that would give up a decent amount for Stephon Gilmore. What do you think that he would be able to garner as far as picks are concerned from a team?
Well, Jalen Ramsey got two first-round picks. I don't know if a team would give up two first-round picks for Stephon Diggs, just not because he's not worth it. He certainly is, just because the Jalen Ramsey thing didn't really work out for the Rams. And then you see Marcus Peters cost something much less than that for the Ravens. So I think the first-round pick is probably something else. I'm just trying to do the math. Like, they have 14 picks, the Patriots, but a lot of them are in the second half of the draft, so there's not a lot of capital there. And we know that Belichick doesn't like to give away future picks if he can help it to move up. But if you're giving away Stephon Diggs, that's interesting. Because
Gilmore,
your whole
Stephon Gilmore, yeah, on, yeah.
Gilmore, sorry, yes. That's if right. You gave away Stephon Diggs, that would be amazing. Stephon Gilmore, because you usually work in the secondary forward, the way that defense works. But stranger things have happened. I mean, the fact that Tom Brady isn't there is incredibly strange, and they need a quarterback now. You'd imagine Jared Stidham and or Brian Hoyer aren't the answer. So that would certainly spice things up in a time where we have virtually nothing to talk about.
You're right, Ryan. And this is – it's kind of a – there's an all bets are off vibe kind of with this team right now. Like, nobody can predict what they're doing, because I don't even know what direction they're going in other than, you know, like, is it a full rebuild? Is it just kind of a reboot? It's like, are you going to go all in? And I think if you obviously trade Stephon Gilmore, that's the message that you're sending, is you're rebuilding. You're completely rebooting this team, building it from the ground up. And I mean, when you look at the draft, as you said, not a lot of picks there in the first half. And I just wondered how many, like, what they would be able to get. So you think a first rounder and maybe like a second rounder possibly?
So second sounds steep. If you told me a first and a third, I'd be, ooh, that's a good deal for the Patriots, just because of the market we're in and the time of the year. Maybe a first and a player, but I think a first and a third. I don't know if I'd give a first and a second for Steph Gilmore, not because he's not worth it. Don't get me wrong. I think he is. It's just that we're so close to the draft, and teams sort of know what they need, and that's a huge haul. But again, like I said, who knows what's going to happen at this point?
All right. You got Justin Jefferson from LSU, a receiver. This is a very deep wide receiver class, at least I've been told. How deep is the talent, and do you think it's a good pick to take a receiver at 23? Could you get more value, still get value in the third round?
Yeah, no, that's all right. So that's the math you have to do if you're the Patriots. Do you want to get a receiver in round one, or circle back in round three and get one who is not as efficient, but who can do a lot of the things you want? And I do a mock draft every week, and as you may be able to tell by the sound of my voice, it can be pretty exhausting. So at this point in the proceeding, I've had them taking offensive linemen at this point. I've had them taking edge rushers because obviously they had need. I had them taking safeties before they re-signed Devin McCourty. So, but what's their biggest need right now outside of quarterback, obviously, if they don't trade up for that or stay put and one falls there? I think it is wide receiver, and Justin Jefferson is special. He played in the slot for LSU, and he was Joe Burrow's go-to guy. He just wore teams out. And I feel like N'Keal Harry last year, I wasn't sure about that fit, and we sort of saw him struggle in terms of getting open. Justin Jefferson doesn't have that concern in terms of getting open. He ran a 4.47, I think, at the combine, and he's big. He's 6'2", and he said, "Look, man, I can play outside too. I don't just play inside. So I'm versatile in terms of where I play." He'd been much more effective with Tom Brady there, but look, that ship has sailed. But you still need wide receivers, and guys have to get open, and I think that's a risk you could take at the bottom of the first round.
All right, Ryan Wilson covers the NFL and the NFL draft for CBS Sports. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it. All right, that would be 2 years in a row that they take a receiver. What's Gilmore's contract status?
Gilmore?
So he's going to be 30.
It's
the
dead cap
starts.
Money if you trade him. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's the dead cap money. I'm looking this up as we're talking. But
it would definitely be a Bill Belichick-type move to get rid of a guy before you absolutely had to.
But, I mean, he's already getting crushed cap-wise as it is. I understand he's got a lot of money left under it next year.
2 years
left? If they trade him, it's $15 million in dead cap money. If they trade him next year, it's about half that.
Okay.
So they're not trading him.
It doesn't look that way.
Yeah, you can't trade him at that point. All right, we will return. We will be right back.
Fred.
Do we think this is a bathroom problem?
I don't know. Fred.
Yo, what's up, guys?
No, not you, David Pasternak. I'm looking for Fred.
Thanks.
Okay, well, for you, no problem. Fred.
Oh, well,
Fred's obviously got a little something brewing right now, so let's let him duty in peace or whatever he's doing right now. But we are in the middle of our TNR brackets. We are digging up some stuff for the good people who say, you know what, I need the yucks right now. And we are going deep into the archives. And this is something that I am excited to play once again, because it's been a long time since we've heard from this gentleman. Somebody who was one of our favorite all-time characters from the show. Somebody that we met and spent a lot of time with. And then once you realize that you want to play something from this guy, then it's going and finding out which clip do you play? Like, which break do you do? Because we've had so many great moments with this gentleman. So I listened to this one. It was the first one I heard. It made me laugh my ass off. So I said, well, this is the one we're going to do. If you've never met him before, then ladies and gentlemen, let's introduce you to the faster guy.
We beg you with the dance floor. Faster, fast, fast, faster. We beg you with the dance floor. Yukos.
Well, the faster guy, rare winter appearance.
Never comes out in the winter.
Because he likes to walk around, but in the winter, he's all holed up at home.
No.
But the wrestling was too much to keep him away.
You can't keep the faster guy away from a Royal Rumble. And as Adolfo learned, there were so many different people out there. There was, of course, that lady who was calling him all sorts of horrible names.
Like, we use him for whatever the hell you like, Ames.
And then when she was done being insulted by women who looked like Mama Fratelli, who used
Ames.
Well, he ran into an old friend, and that being one faster guy, let's go ahead and get to the tape.
Is it okay we use this for the radio?
Sure.
So this is Mark, and this is your Toucher and Rich Wrestling Recap.
Hi, this is Mark. This is your Turner and Rich Wrestling Recap.
She never gets it right.
Yeah, well, you know, he was an extra. He was an extra in Turner and Hooch, and he just wants to rub it in everyone's face. So he is the faster guy, and here's what he has to say.
So, did you go to the wrestling match tonight?
No, didn't.
But you know, there's a big one going on tonight, right?
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about wrestling?
It's real contagious nowadays.
Okay, I mean, Hulkamania is contagious.
Sure. What are you going to do when Hulkamania gets a hold of you? And
there's not a man, woman, or child who hasn't ripped their shirt off in a spontaneous Hulkamania frenzy. But it is, I guess wrestling is contagious nowadays. I got the fever. I'm not going to lie. I was jumping off the roof last night onto tables.
It's real contagious nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Now, who was your favorite wrestler growing up?
Probably Hulk Hogan.
Now, what do you think about his rival, the Macho Man, Randy Savage?
Ooh, yeah.
Wow, you got him excited.
Yeah, it's like you almost said, hey, faster guy, it's the Flash.
Ooh, yeah.
All right.
Hey, faster guy, we're only a couple months away from the Boston Marathon.
Ooh, yeah.
Did he come, was he dressed in all red, and did he come smashing through a wall with refreshing Kool-Aid?
No, but he did have two lightning bolts on his head.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
All right. Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. Snap into a Slim Jim.
Faster guy.
Snap into a Slim Jim. Whoever, whatever the copywriter is from the ad agency that created that deserves themselves a raise.
Ooh, yeah.
That's his imitation of the Macho Man.
Of course.
Wait, is this the Macho Man?
Ooh, yeah. Snap into a Slim Jim.
This is not Rich Little.
Ooh, yeah. Snap into a Slim Jim.
I can only imagine the fun that can be had with that in production.
It's already been done.
Good, good, good.
Now, if you were a wrestler, what would your wrestling name be?
Mark.
Now,
okay.
Are you automatically making yourself a heel? Because what are people going to think? Mark.
Mark.
Mm. I'm sure there's been murderers by that name. Mark David Chapman.
Hmm.
He killed Lennon.
And what would be your, like, logo? What would be your catchphrase?
Beast.
Not very intimidating.
I'm a beast.
I always like to keep my favorite snack handy. The old excitement.
Ooh, yeah. Snap into a Slim Jim.
Snap into a Slim Jim. Ooh, yeah.
It's like he took seven Quaaludes.
Ooh, yeah. Beast.
So, do you think there's some hot chicks out tonight?
Yeah, a lot of cars. A lot of limos. Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think about what's going on in Egypt with all the, like, revolution going on down there?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's all part of the Afghanistan, you know, Afghanistan.
Wait a second. Down there. First of all, there's no answer you could give that would be dumber than the answer I would say.
What revolution going on down there?
Yeah. There's no answer the faster guy's going to say. I can't call him out on anything. You ask me what's going on down there. I was watching the Al Jazeera television in English yesterday, and for some reason I got scared that the government would mind.
Well, what do you think about what's going on in Egypt with all the, like, revolution going on down there?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's all part of the Afghanistan, you know. Afghanistan is about one state above Cairo. So, you know, I think it's the pollution, you know, is in the water or something, you know, going down into Cairo. You know, a lot of anthrax. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about them shutting off the internet? Since you're a big technology guy and, you know, you're probably on the internet all the time, how would you deal with not being with the internet for a long time?
Not too well. You know, I imagine I would have to do everything old-fashioned style, you know, just real Manuel Lewis type of stuff.
Manuel so you'd have to get a step stool to reach things?
You got to bring in Webster sometimes.
Right.
Manuel Lewis.
I'd have to have ma'am come pick me up. Ben Vereen would come by and put on a big show.
Yeah. And then I'd get some balloons and attach it to the poor kid.
Yeah, look at how light I am.
Manuel Lewis.
The balloons illustrate how light I am. I'm floating in the air.
Manuel Lewis.
You know, he's Amish, you know, no technology.
Amish Webster.
He's not very good at raising the bar. It's kind of useless.
Emmanuel Lewis.
He can't grow the beard.
They should do Amish Webster.
Emmanuel Lewis.
You see him churning the butter.
Right.
He actually falls into the butter.
Falls right. into the vat.
And then like George Manson churning him.
They're raising the house and it falls, but like it falls
that one
on
window
him.
Pane.
But there's a one window pane that goes over him.
That one space for the window just misses him.
Jebediah. Jebediah. Where's my...
Forget it. All right, here we go.
No, just real Emmanuel Lewis type of stuff. Mm-hmm.
The Oscars have been announced. Who do you like for Best Picture this year?
Maybe The Fighter is a pretty good movie. Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Mark Wahlberg in The Fighter?
Well, he's a good actor, you know. He's big action from Planet of the Apes to, you know, New Kids on the Block. You know, he's all over the place nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Now, he was in New Kids on the Block. Now, do you know the songs?
No, he
step
wasn't.
By step.
All right. I know he wasn't in New Kids on the Block, but I mean, really, he might as well have been. Yeah. Well, listen, the difference between Marky Mark and New Kids on the Block in retrospect is very, very slim. They're both very talented hip hop acts from the ghetto.
Now, he was in New Kids on the Block. Now, do you know the songs?
Step by step, ooh baby. Step by step, ooh baby.
How was the sound from like the street here in Lansdowne? How was it from here?
Picture perfect. Step by step, ooh baby. You know, ground beef is really a winner nowadays. Step by step, ooh baby. Manure goes for $2 million an acre. Emmanuel Lewis.
Now, you got to give the guy credit. Who picks up step by step?
Yeah, you would think you'd go with a different hand.
You go hanging tough.
Yeah. The right stuff.
Yeah.
See, right here. So you go it.
The right stuff.
Now we're talking.
Fashion. Emmanuel Lewis. Ooh, yeah. Snap into a Slim Jam.
Emmanuel Lewis.
Emmanuel Lewis.
I'd have to get a little guy to pick things up. Maybe we could get Emmanuel Lewis on some sort of wheel. He could power the internet.
Ooh, yeah.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
FDIC.
CVS Pharmacy delivers. And right now, to meet the needs of the current health situation, we're offering 1 to 2 day delivery for free. Get prescriptions and other everyday essentials like vitamins, allergy relief, snacks, and more from your local CVS. We understand your concern, and this is just one of the ways we can help you to be prepared and stay well. Visit CVS.com or call your local CVS pharmacy to get started. Restrictions apply. Offer valid on orders with a prescription.
Morton's Boston Seaport is open for takeout curbside pickup from 12 to 8 Monday through Friday and 3 to 8 Saturday and Sunday. Call Morton's Boston today, 617-526-0410 and mention 98.5 and you'll receive a 20% discount off their takeout menu at Morton's Boston Seaport.
Time and temperature brought to you by Allstate. It is 36 degrees at 9:34. If you haven't quoted Allstate lately, it's the perfect time. Now Allstate has new lower auto rates. Call a local Allstate agent and get a quote now.
This is a public service announcement from NetEase5, the Sports Hub.
Goodwill can turn your donations into jobs. They found a direct link between your donations and job creation. Log on to goodwill.org and become a job creator. That's goodwill.org.
We know talking sports is essential.
All right, let's hear what's going on.
Listen to the Sports Hub on your smart speaker and on the Sports Hub app.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. This is Brad Stevens of the Boston Celtics. On National Doctors Day, I just wanted to say thank you to all of the medical personnel, not only across New England, but across our country and around the world, who are doing so much on the front lines for all of us. You are our true heroes and role models. Thank you so much for your service.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com.
Brad Stevens there, ball of energy during his quarantining. unlike the rest of his the team, Jason Tatum, maybe that's where he learns his like really laid back demeanor. He just watched Brad Stevens, and that just mimics him. There's really not really not any electric personalities. Even Marcus Smart, like when he talks, kind of, you know, he's fairly laid back. When he Jaylen Brown, he'll put you to sleep when he talks. You
know, they're under the thumb of the Brad Stevens regime. You will be quiet.
As long as they play well, I guess we're all happy. Although, who knows, maybe they're going to be in that big NBA 2K tournament that's going to be televised on Friday.
The more I hear about that stupid NBA 2K tournament, I mean, what loser is going to watch that?
It's better than nothing. You know,
no, it's like, not.
There's not nothing.
There's literally years of entertainment that's available.
I'll tell you who's going to watch it. The Bankroll Boys. And bet on it. It's something they can actually put money on.
Yeah, but they have no advantage. I mean, they're just going to be flying blind.
Dude, they bet on the XFL the first week.
Yeah, but they had a plan. They said take the underdog. They had a plan in place. They don't just bet willy-nilly.
Well, they bet on marble racing. I'd say that's fairly willy-nilly.
They didn't seem overly enthused with the with the marble racing.
I
don't even know if they bet on it. They just said that it existed. So I'm not positive they even bet on that.
I bet if that happens, Joe Murray, if you're listening right now, tweet us. Are you in or are you out on betting on the NBA 2K tournament that's going to air on ESPN this Friday?
I mean, Jesus. Do what you do when you're the Ocho. Just show a bunch of crap.
Unapologetically.
The Ocho's great. Like, I loved the Ocho. That one day they had the Ocho, that was fantastic.
Yeah, so just do that.
I would love that. Just like fringe sports, put it on there.
Be like, you know what they could do that would be interesting? Is that they could, and I've said this for a while, is that they could take like a random day from like the 80s and just play the programming from that day.
That makes all the sense in the world, Fred. And I had a listener made this suggestion to me last night, actually. Bring back those strongman competitions.
The strongman competitions are all right.
Yeah, the Magnus for Magnuson. Remember that guy?
I remember him.
Honest to God, I'm up for a little rock lifting. No, putting it on the pedestal, sure.
And also, you would play the Sports Center from that night.
Yes.
I mean, it would just be a day of programming.
Here's two things that ESPN needs to bring back. Number one, I know it's not a fringe sport, but do you remember when they used to show the volleyball, speech volleyball championships with Karch Karai and St. John Smith?
Yes.
Those seem to be on all the time. And I loved those. I would watch that. And you know what else you got to bring back? Do you remember when ESPN was desperate for content and they would air those 1960s black and white home run derbies?
Yes.
Where it was like, it was Hank Aaron versus someone. I mean, it was these, and they
Mickey
would just
Mantle
sit there
and stuff.
It was like a 30-minute show and it ruled.
Guys, I have the answer. I have the answer during the middays. Two words, Keanu Tom.
Well, that's what, Dan just said that in my ear. The old Keanu Tom and the old
Corey Everson.
Corey Everson.
Yep. That's 2 hours of programming, or an hour. It's a half hour.
I wonder if I would instinctually grab my genitals. Like, if it was something that would, like, I would like a rooster, I would just, like, boop. Like in one of those movies. Like,
wait a minute.
Like, yeah, Pavlov's dog. I would just start, like, no matter where I was, I'd just start playing with myself. Just waking up when I was in college at 11 o'clock in the morning, just turning on TV and saying, here we go.
Well, speaking of ESPN, I guess that, you know, for a while there's been talk about how they've been making this massive Michael Jordan documentary. And over the last couple of weeks, there's been a growing sentiment on social media from even some famous athletes saying, hey, why don't you rush this thing and go ahead and release it early? And they announced today, yep, we're going to do just that. So a 10-part Michael Jordan documentary is going to start to air beginning April 19th. Episodes will make their debut in pairs weekly beginning at 8 p.m. through May 17th. Now, a ton of people are interviewed for this. All the athletes that played for him. You've even got people like Barack Obama, Phil Jackson, of course, and all these behind-the-scenes things. Now, this is coming from a guy who watched 4 episodes of The Tiger King. And now Tiger King is enthralling. It's fascinating. I love it. And even 4 episodes is a little much for me. Mm. 10 hours of Michael Jordan's documentary. Dude, what can we learn about him that we couldn't learn in 5?
Yeah.
Like, hours is a lot, man. I mean,
If they have a part that's like about his gambling and stuff, that would be interesting.
I don't know how you can avoid it with 10 episodes of programming about this. How can you avoid his gambling problem?
Because we already know his story growing up.
Exactly.
We know that he didn't make varsity his freshman year. And we know about North Carolina and all this stuff. So, I mean, it's not like this is pretty covered ground.
Here, give me a full episode on him getting to the NBA. I would take that. Like, on him finally in, like, his first year in the NBA. And then I'll take 3 episodes of his dominance in the NBA. You know, go through, like, you know, the first rendition of the Bulls. Then you go to the Rodman years. And then the final one needs to be what happened afterwards. And you can talk about his gambling. You can talk about his, you know, how his Hall of Fame speech that everyone was like, what the hell is going on here? It's got to show the good and the bad.
Ownership of a franchise. Yes. And coming back playing for the Washington Wizards at the end.
You don't need, and think of all the athletes that are out there. He's probably one that demands the longest documentary series. 5 is enough. I don't know what they're going to talk about for 10 hours with Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit through that. Unless someone tells me one of the episodes is especially good.
Well, you're going to hear the best stuff, and there's going to be, you know, I mean, obviously there's going to be some nuggets in there that everyone's going to talk about, but you'll be able to find those things online.
I mean, we're running out of Doogie Howsers, and but we're still pretty good with the Saved by the Bell.
Well,
so
it seems like this coronavirus has just absolutely destroyed all of the movies, big budget movies that are going to be coming out this year. Because on top of the Fast and the Furious 9 and getting moved all the way to next year, they say we're not going to move to the end of the year. We're going to move it to next year. Looks like the same is happening with the new Ghostbusters movie, Ghostbusters Afterlife, which was supposed to be coming out on July 10th of this year, is now coming out on March 5th of next year. And, the DC comic movie, not DC, Marvel movie called Morbius, about a vampire, that is shifting from July 31st of this year to March 19th of 2021.
Why?
Because they don't know when people are going to be able to go to the movies.
God, if we can't go to the movies by the end of July, my Lord.
No, who knows? I mean, I think that right now there's so much cash that's put into these films that they don't even want to take that risk.
I know. Well, no one's going to have any money to go to the movies if it's still going around in July.
There's the Tom Hanks World War II movie Greyhound. That has been pulled indefinitely. As a matter of fact, it's now a TBD, so no one knows when that's coming out. Fred, I know you're a big fan of James Corden, who does the voice of Peter Rabbit. Peter Rabbit 2 has been moved all the way to next year as well, and it just keeps going and going and going. So, I mean, you're right, Fred. If the movies do open up, there's going to be, you know what it might be? It might be the heyday of, like, independent film. For the first time in a long time, all of these movies made by small studios might be the only thing that are going to be available to see in an actual theater.
Right. And then, but, I mean, people are going to have very little disposable income. So, I mean, you know, if you're moving among money, I don't know. If you're planning on this going on until next year, then, I mean, why even release the movie?
Yeah.
No one's going to have any money.
Who knows? But, John, this is good news for you as well as a big fan of the Fast and Furious franchise. Mm-hmm. Hobbs and Shaw 2 officially in development.
Nice!
Because God knows that's the best part of the Fast and the Furious series is Hobbs and Shaw.
Who are they?
That would be The Rock and Jason Statham.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
The Fast and Furious was a very good franchise, and then The Rock showed up, and it was the best franchise.
The problem is, though, there's a little infighting between The Rock and Vin Diesel. Apparently, the two of them are having trouble coexisting.
Is that real, or is that for show?
I'm not sure.
You know what Vin Diesel likes to do?
Play Dungeons and Dragons.
You got that much straight.
He's a big fan of that. He's a nerd.
Yeah, he's a big nerd.
So Adam Schefter tweeted out something that is somewhat of an interesting predicament that some of these NFL teams are going to be going into heading to the draft. He said, a point multiple teams have now raised, free agents that don't have signed contracts by the draft. Because remember, these contracts aren't officially sealed until they're able to do physicals on a lot of these guys. So it says, free agents that don't have a signed contract by the draft, and many don't, could put themselves in jeopardy. If a team drafts a player at a certain position, it could always rescind any agreement it had with a free agent. Think about that. Yeah. So let's say you signed a wide receiver, quote unquote signed. He believes he's a part of the team. They've agreed, you know, in you've seen the contract in front of you, just you can't physically sign it because you need to get your physical. And then all of a sudden, unexpectedly, falling into their lap in the draft is a guy at wide receiver.
Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb or any of these guys. Say it's the Jets, Fred. The Jets who just signed Rashad Perriman to a one-year, what was it, one-year and $8 million, right?
Yeah.
And you draft a kid like Lamb who's slotted for a lot less than that low in the first round.
And then all of a sudden you're like, well, we don't have anything signed here, so sorry, we're not going to.
They have a bad enough reputation. They can't afford to be pulling crap like that.
Hey, listen, it's going to hurt them any worse, I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got people complaining about the medical staff. They have to give more money than any other team to get people to play there. So, no, I don't think the Jets can do that. Bad example.
Okay.
Well, you know, listen, let's say Belichick pulled something like that, then everyone in the league will be like, oh, well, that's just smart business.
Yeah, he has no money against the cap. Yeah.
We'll see about that this year.
Who knows? Well, the Tokyo Olympics are officially rescheduled. The opening ceremony is to take place on July 23rd, 2021. You know what? That does suck. I love the Olympics. Like, whenever it's on for 2 weeks, it's on in the background. You know, there's very few like events that I'm thoroughly invested in, but every single night, you know, you've got something interesting to watch. And the fact that they took that away from us this summer, especially if this thing continues to go on and we don't have playoff basketball. If we end up getting playoff basketball and playoff hockey, then I don't care. I wouldn't have time to watch the Olympics. But if we don't have the Olympics, or if we don't have those two and we don't have the Olympics as well, that's going to suck.
Well, I know Tokyo's in Japan, but apparently the market's going to do fairly well today because China's slowly getting back to business. So I guess the Chinese market is starting to improve, which should make you feel good.
Mm.
If you are here, there's a country that has had this pandemic and is slowly getting back to business. So that should make you feel good.
2 months? 2 months? Two and a half? Is that what it's
How long was it going on there?
Trying to think.
Where? In China?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, December is when they first found out. So December.
All right. So they first found out here in January. So, yeah, they didn't do anything.
Well, so, I mean, if you really want to have a punch to the gut, take a look, because South Korea and America had their first coronavirus case on the same day.
Yeah.
And South Korea is almost done with it. I mean, the curve's almost all the way down.
Yeah.
They really were ready for this. They had dealt with, what was the one that they, it wasn't bird flu. I think it was bird flu.
SARS?
It was one of those that from the past years, but it got them prepared for this. And that's why when I heard Dr. Fauci say yesterday that there's a chance that this could go away in the summer and come back in the fall, he said, but it would be a completely different predicament because you would think at that point the country would be more ready for it because they would be prepared and know it was coming and you'd be able to flatten the curve a lot quicker.
Yeah, you would think.
You would hope.
You would hope. That, yeah, we wouldn't be scrambling at the last minute. All right. We will be back, and we'll find out with Zolak and Bertrand have going on from their respected homes, or maybe we'll talk to Hardy from the studio. We will be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.